This is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 The Fan, and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Tim Barbalace.
Kobe Mayo is expected to get plenty of work at third base during Jordan Westberg's absence. Mayo's bat has always been his calling card, while he has worked hard to improve his defense. O's president of baseball ops, Mike Elias, is happy with Mayo's progress defensively.
He's good. He's moving good. I mean, he's a great defender for his size and his body type, and he's got a ton of arm strength, and he's a natural infielder. But, you know, the hot corner at the major league level is really hard, and, you know, getting to that level of play is something that he's been working on.
NFL teams and draft prospects are arriving in Indianapolis for the scouting combine. GM and head coach availability will take place tomorrow and Wednesday, with the first on-field workouts happening on Thursday. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, temps are in the low 40s with an overnight low of 23. Tomorrow has partly cloudy skies and a high of 38. I'm Tim Barbalace, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles spring training coverage. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Inside Access with Ken Wyman and Tim Barbalace. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Baseball's back, baby, at least spring training baseball. We got a little over a month until they start playing games for real, but it's a perfect time to talk to our buddy Scott Braun. Scott's a host of Foul Territory and president of the Foul Territory Network, which features over 25 shows covering the game nationally and locally. Look out for a brand new Orioles show launching soon. Find the shows on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Also, Foul Territory will do a live show from inside Orioles camp in Sarasota on Wednesday, March 11th. So, Scott, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start with good news. And since we last spoke to you, the Orioles signed Chris Bassett. That signing means what to you?
Tim and Ken, great to chat. I love Chris Bassett. I think he's been one of the more underrated pitchers for a while now, and he's aging quite gracefully, and he shows the versatility that you look for when you're a team that has its sights set on the postseason. Look at the impact that he was able to make, not just for the Blue Jays over the last few years in the regular season to eat up innings. Sure, was he the best pitcher in the sport? No, but 22 to 2025, minimum of 170 innings and 30-plus starts, ERA under 4 every season, now going back to, I think, 2018. Solid, consistent. You want a guy that's going to take the baseball. I think Orioles fans really, really understand that and let that hit home for them during a regular season where there was, you know, so much turmoil with the rotation last year. But then here's the kicker for me, Ken and Tim. You get to the postseason, and if you've got some of the big boys cranking the way that you hope they are, right, like Rodgers and Bradish and Boz, you can say, okay, Chris Bassett, one or two innings out of the bullpen, high leverage, like he did last year in the playoffs for the Blue Jays. So I love it. 1 year, $18.5 million, sign me up. I was a big fan. I mean, I know some Orioles fans wanted the big kahuna like a Framber Valdez, but this was a very good fallback option in my mind.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go, Scott. I think Mike Elias was talking about bringing in that frontline guy. Orioles obviously didn't. You brought in Chris Bassett. But with that being said, the starting rotation is vastly better than it was opening day last year. But is it good enough for the postseason? Is it good enough to make a run in October?
I think it's good enough. I mean, is it good enough to, win a World Series title? I'm not sure. I think the team's still going to have to really crank on offense. And I would say in terms of concern, I'd probably put it one notch below now the bullpen. Yeah. I would be more concerned about the bullpen at this point. There's a lot of unproven names, and you're going to really rely on a bounce back from Helsley, and hopefully that does happen. But I'm actually more concerned officially now about the bullpen, both in the regular season and in the postseason. And I know if things are going well for them at the trade deadline, you can load up on that bullpen. So I just think that the rotation is in a position right now where there's quality and there's a little bit of quantity now. And that can change really quickly with injuries, but yeah, I would say this is a huge improvement. Is it a 10 out of 10 improvement? Like, is it everything everyone dreamed of in the offseason? No, but it's pretty good, right? I mean, Eflin's going to fill innings for you, and then I think they have high hopes for what Shane Boz can do. He hasn't really put it all together yet, and he's dealt with some injuries in the past, but hopefully that's behind him. Bassett's your guy that's Mr. Reliable. Bradish full season? And what is Trevor Rogers going to look like? It looks like he's throwing the ball really nicely in camp and looking like the same guy from last year. So overall, do I think it's the best rotation in baseball? But no, but it is in a much better place than it was last year. Hopefully it should be a top half of the league rotation, and that should be good enough.
Talking with Scott Braun, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Well, you mentioned they got a crank on offense. Well, expectations were that Jordan Westberg would be a big part of that offense, and here we are now. He's got a partially torn UCL, getting a PRP injection. He's going to miss at least all of April. So, first of all, it's unfortunate, but now it just seems like injury prone is fair because the guy just can't stay healthy. But how big a loss is Jordan Westberg?
Massive, because he's got it all in the clubhouse too, and that stuff matters. He's one of those gamers, you know, brings it every day to the ballpark, super well liked there. I mean, he's one of the team leaders, so it's going to hurt a ton. That's why I mentioned, you know, is the offense going to be cranking? Because when I looked at this roster heading into spring training, I was like, okay, this could be a top five offense in baseball. So the Orioles should have enough starting pitching. I'm not sure about the bullpen, but I think it's a top five offense. And when that happens, that should be a playoff team. It certainly hurts when you're already down two starters and we've barely begun spring training. So yeah, I think Westbrook's going to hurt a ton. We know it's at least a month. It could end up being more. It's still a young player. And yes, it's a player who's been hurt in the past. To me, that generally means they're going to play it slower with him because of what's happened. So you knock two of them out of there. They're in a much better position than they were in the past on this front too, right? It's time for Kobe Mayo to show what he's got. You added Ward and Alonso, which should give you about 70 home runs added to your lineup. So overall, I still like the lineup a lot. It's just it's taken a hit already to start the year. Basayo is going to be asked to do a lot. And I mean, with the way that he even looked in flashes last year, I think he is going to do a lot and he's going to be able to focus on the bat. A lot of times catcher prospects don't work out because, I mean, the catching part is such a to-do that I think the bat falls behind. Maybe we saw that a little bit with Adley Rutschman over the last couple of years. Sounds like Basayo is going to do a lot of DHing and they're just going to let him rip. And I think he's going to have a huge first year, first full year. So I'm not like super concerned about the offense. I just think right now when you're missing those two guys to start the year, Westberg and Holiday, it could be more of a, let's call it top 10-ish offense versus what I thought could be one of the best to bang in baseball right now.
Well, part of it, Scott, is these young guys are going to have to step up because a lot of them regressed last year. We know Gunnar Henderson dealt with the shoulder impingement, but the power numbers were really down. You mentioned Adley Rutschman. He struggled for a year and a half. Colton Cowser, it was a rough year for him. And then the guys that are already hurt, like a Jackson Holliday, a Jordan Westberg. Like, are you expecting bounce backs from this young core?
I'm expecting bounce backs from some of them, but like we're talking about here, not all of them, right? I mean, you're already going to be behind the eight ball with Westberg battling the elbow, and then Jackson Holliday is another good example here, guys. Usually with a hammock bone, you do have a power issue.
That
usually happens for a couple months when a player comes back, on average. Occasionally you see a guy come back and he's fine, and it sounds like the Orioles will slow play it with him more so than the Mets are with Lindor, and more so than the Diamondbacks are with Corbin Carroll, but that's a factor there, right? Does that hurt the development? Does he look more like last year's version and not take that next step? That could be the case. But, I mean, for me, you need Pete Alonso to be Pete Alonso, and he's as solid and consistent as they come, and I think he has a massive chip on his shoulder. He's pissed about the way things ended with the Mets. He can say whatever he wants. He's nice as can be. He comes on foul territory all the time, and he's too classy to say anything. But if you're Pete and you were the franchise leader in homers and the whole deal and they didn't want you at the rate that the Orioles wanted you, you're out to prove to the world that they were missing out on something. So I think he's going to potentially lead the league in home runs. Yeah, you need Gunnar to look like the superstar from 2 years ago. Taylor Ward just needs to be himself. He's super streaky, but he can hit you 30, 35 home runs. So as far as the young guys, but yeah, it would be nice to see a solid, consistent season from a Colton Cowser. You want to see the bat bounce back for Rutschman. I guess the point here for me, guys, is that even if, let's say, 30 to 50% of the guys that underperformed last year bounce back, you'll be in good shape because there is enough depth to be like, all right, this guy's not cranking. Let's say it's Kobe Mayo, okay, then now Westberg's back and we don't have to rely on him.
Scott, the AL East looks like a gauntlet. We probably talk about this every time we talk to you, and who knows what Tampa's going to be, but the other four teams look pretty loaded. How would you stack this division right now?
Yeah, I was really high on the Orioles up until a few weeks ago. I'm still high on them. I still think they're going to have a really competitive year. I really like Craig Albernaz, too. He comes from a winning formula over there in Cleveland. I think it was a tough spot last year. I like Todd. I know there were mixed reviews there. I thought it had more to do with not giving him the right roster. I actually was surprised. I just saw these Tony Mancelino comments now that he's with Atlanta. I'm sure, I don't know if you guys have gone over
it. Oh, we literally did.
Yes,
prior to the break.
We'll be hitting those tomorrow on Foul Territory. I was like, I mean, I live for that stuff, the juicy comments. So I got rescued. I'm out. But anyway, the point is, Craig Albernaz coming over. He's one of the most well-liked guys in the game, but a gamer and coming from a system that has continuously figured out how to do more with less. That's the Cleveland Guardians. So I think he's going to be the right mix there. So anyway, how I'm stacking it right now, I do think that the Blue Jays and the Yankees are at the top tier. Second tier for me is Baltimore and is Boston, and then third tier is the Rays. It would be really hard for me to see the Rays making the playoffs, finding a way to do that. But to me, Yankees and Blue Jays are playoff teams, and then I think one of Baltimore or Boston ends up making it to the postseason as a wild card. So we'll see. Boston's got the pitching. Baltimore's a little bit more, I would say, well-rounded. I'm worried about Boston's offense more so than I am Baltimore's offense. So that's how I stack it up right now, Boston and Baltimore in two very equal spots.
Scott, I keep saying that I'm going to savor this upcoming baseball season just because 2027 is just a complete unknown with the CBA about to expire December 1st. You had the Tony Clark fiasco going on. What are your thoughts on the future labor wars between the PA and the league?
I think it's going to get ugly for a while. I think we've all been anticipating that. I'm going to stick with my prediction. Nobody totally knows what's going to happen, but the prediction that I've been putting out there for a while now is that you'll barely have any real conversations until February. That's not abnormal. We had that last time, and that is called a lockout. We're going to have a lockout for many months. That is the strategy that's put in place. These are lawyer battles, and once we start talking in February, you'll start to hear about deadlines. If we don't figure something out by March X, then we'll miss X amount of spring training, and then it'll start to dip into will we miss time during the season. I think you'll actually get announcements on shows like yours and mine that say, hey, we're missing the first week of the season. We're now down to 155 games, blah, blah, blah. We're going to keep going there, and we'll hit a point where I think there will be a real deadline that's not really shared about actually missing those games. And what I mean is I think they'll figure it out like a couple weeks after the fake deadline, and they'll end up chopping spring training down to either, I would think, potentially nothing and say, hey, oh, well, we fought. You guys are going to just have to hop on the field, spend, I don't know, a week at the ballpark, get yourself together, and they'll all be training. This is not like the old days where it's like, oh, I'm out of shape. I go to spring training and run some laps. Like, it's not ideal. There'll be more injuries, but they'll show up to the ballpark. They'll play some sim games against each other, and then they'll wrap some doubleheaders. They'll pick up off days and turn them into games, and they'll tell everyone, oh, we're down to 148 if we don't figure it out by tomorrow. And then suddenly they'll figure it out. A deal will come in place, and we'll be back to 162 because nobody wants to lose money. Players don't want to lose paychecks, and owners don't want to violate any media contracts. So that's how they'll piece it together and get the season back. So it'll look really bad. People will be like, this is it, lockout. We're actually missing games. And then they'll fix that. Now, that's just a prediction. Could they miss half a season? Could they miss a ton? Yes. I think there's too much on the line. You can argue to death about the salary cap and other issues in the sport. The sport is freaking thriving as a whole. There's a massive media contract that's looming a couple years away. The last thing you want to do is miss games, not just for the fans, but even for the Amazons and the YouTubes of the world and all of these other spots that might be bidding, along with, of course, Fox always throwing games out there, and I'm sure they'll be in the mix as well. So point is, I think there's a lot of hoopla. There's a lot of, oh, our war chest is bigger than yours. We can handle this for a long period of time. I just don't think they're going to miss games. I think they're going to make it look as ugly as possible publicly and to make it appear as if we're actually losing games, and then they'll just pick it up. They actually did this last time. I don't remember the exact details, but last time around they did this. They ended up having to mess around with either some scheduling or starting a bit later, but squeezed all of the games in. So I think they'll take that to the extreme this time around. So if you want to just like – put your head down during the offseason from December 1st, the lockout, up until, like, say, April 1st, and just miss all of the BS, you'll just wake back up and be like, cool, there's a 162-game season. I didn't have to hear all of the lawyer battles over billions of dollars.
Scott Braun, always great. Reminder that Foul Territory will be at Orioles camp in Sarasota on Wednesday, March 11th. Scott, thanks as always for your time. We appreciate it.
Guys, appreciate the time. Great to talk to you.
Thanks so much. Hey, remember, Cordell Woodland is going to join us at 5:30. But coming up next, Eric DaCosta was on the Inner Circle podcast. What did he have to say as he's getting ready to ramp up this offseason? You'll hear from him next.
Next time on the Big Bad Morning Show.
How great was college basketball Monday night? Also, the O's take the diamond on Monday for exhibition baseball. And reports are that Lamar Jackson has been engaged in off-season activities with the team. But is he ready to sign the extension?
Tomorrow on Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan. From the A.J. Michaels Heating and Cooling Traffic Center.
Traffic volume remains very light. 95 northbound, no delays to the Fort McHenry Tunnel. Looks good in both directions there. 895, same deal. No delays toward the Harbor Tunnel. And US 50 at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Wind warnings remain in effect. High-profile vehicles there use caution. I'm Scott Brady with traffic.
Inside Access with Ken Wyman and Tim Barbalace. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
I think our coaching staff, what I've seen from our coaches, our new coaching staff is very, very exciting. I think sometimes change can be good. With change comes innovation and new ways of doing things, new ways of practicing, you know, a new scheme and all these different things. That's going to give us an advantage, I think, this year. When you do the same thing every year and you're playing the Bengals twice a year, the Steelers twice a year, and, you know, the Browns, these guys know us like the back of their hands. I think sometimes the change is a positive thing.
Eric DaCosta on the Inner Circle podcast saying, you know what, same old wasn't good enough anymore, and sometimes change is good.
Yeah. How about, go back to when Brian Billick got fired, and Steve Bisciotti, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, look, I could be searching three coaches down the road before I find my next Brian Billick. I haven't won a Super Bowl yet as majority owner of the Ravens. Like, but he found John Harbaugh, a guy that no one really knew, and he had a phenomenal run here, 17 years, and it was time. It was time. Look, John's going to be in the Ring of Honor when he's done, but that doesn't change the fact that, okay, does the Super Bowl buy you your entire life here? Like, at some point, you need to make a change, and it was time, and now it's Jesse Minter's time.
More from Eric DaCosta on the Inner Circle podcast. Talks about the Ravens' defense heading into next year.
You know, I think we've got to do a better job of getting after the quarterback for sure. I think we have some young guys who can do that. I think losing Nnamdi Matabike was a big blow for us this year. Terrible that we lost him early in the season like we did. But I think we've got some other guys on defense we're excited about. Travis Jones. We got some young outside linebackers that we feel strongly about. Of course, we got Roquan. And then our secondary has a lot of good players. Kyle Hamilton, Nate Wiggins. Of course, Marlon Humphrey is a great player for us, too. I think there's a strong nucleus coming back. I'm really, really excited to see Jesse Minter's influence on our defense. That's his specialty as a defensive coach. I think that'll make a big, big impact.
So, yes, the Jesse Minter thing is a factor because, remember, he took over for the Staley defense and immediately turned it into a really good defense, and that was his calling card, Staley. That said, they need some dudes in front to help get to the quarterback.
Yeah, is the cupboard bare defensively? No.
And by the way, Marlon Humphrey was not a really good player a year ago.
No, he was not. He definitely... Now, 2 years ago, he was really good. At six interceptions. That was a phenomenal year by Marlon Humphrey. But no, when you're getting cooked by, what, 35-year-old Adam Thielen in that final regular season
game, that's no good.
Not ideal. But now it's about improving all of these guys that you have. And you mentioned the guys up front, Ken, and Anthony Weaver. He's going to play a big role with those defensive linemen.
Front guy.
Travis Jones had a really solid year. It was definitely a shrewd contract extension. Eric DaCosta getting him signed to. Can he take the next step rushing the passer? We have no idea what's going on with Nnamdi Matabike. The back end, and that's Mickens as well, the DB coach from Notre Dame. Like, it's about coaching up these young guys, getting Nate Wiggins to take the step, because the second half of the year, he was bad. Like, can he be a ball-hawking guy? Malachi Starks, we talked about that draft class earlier in the show. Can you get these young guys to take the next step? Because you've invested a lot of serious draft capital there.
Let's hear one more from Eric DaCosta. Talks about what the offense looks like heading into next year.
And then offensively, I think all the pieces are there. You know, we've got some skilled guys. We've got a tight end like Mark Andrews, running backs, Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers. They're really, really good about Zay. Rashad Bateman. A lot of good players, I think, on the offensive line. We've got two good tackles and Roger Rosengarten and Ronnie Stanley. We got some work to do on Tyler Linderbaum's contract. He's a free agent. We strongly hope to have him back. He's a great player for us and a great leader. And then we've got to just, I think, augment the guard position, which is something that we can do. We've got some good young guys that we really believe in this year. They're going to make a big, big jump this year for us. Emory Jones is a guy we drafted last year in the third round. We feel really strongly about as being a guy that's going to come in and win a spot for us at the guard spot. But
There's a lot there. Now, number one, I don't believe Rashad Bateman's going to be here when the dust settles. I think they're going to trade him. Alas, it was the Linderbaum of it all, and I'm very curious. I think Eric's going to meet with the media at the Combine. He usually does.
I think Jonas said tomorrow. Maybe. Yeah, tomorrow or Wednesday.
And he will probably be asked about it. A year ago, he was very bullish about getting Ronnie Stanley back, and that happened. Will he seem bullish in this podcast about Tyler Linderbaum?
Well, I certainly feel the same way about those two guys, because I remember we were talking this time a year ago where, hey, if Stanley hits the open market, he's gone, because he was coming off a really good 2024 season, premium position at left tackle. He ended up signing for less here, in large part probably because of the medicals. But Tyler Linderbaum, I feel the same way. If he hits the open market, he's gone. He'll probably sign. I think he probably exceeds Creed Humphrey on the open market in terms of annual average value. So can they get something done with him over the next couple of weeks? Do they even want to? Because we just have not seen this organization dole out big-time money to the center position.
We'll come back. We'll talk to our own Cordell Woodland. We'll get some Oreos. What does he want to hear from Eric DaCosta when he meets with the media tomorrow? We'll ask Cordell next here on The Fan.
Every day, complete coverage of Orioles spring training with Ryan Ripken, Steve Molesky, and the entire fan lineup as we gear up for opening day, March 26th, live from Pickles Pub against the Minnesota Twins. Baseball is back, and it's on 105.7 The Fan.
Possibility.
With the free Odyssey app, you can rewind to specific moments from all our shows.
Over and over and over. Over and over and over.
Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan.
From the A.J. Michaels Heating and Cooling Traffic Center.
One accident now on the outer loop of the Beltway before Liberty Road. It's backed up now to 795. 95 northbound remains quiet. No delays to the Fort McHenry Tunnel. 895 northbound looking good toward the Harbor Tunnel. U.S. 50 at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Wind warnings are in effect. High-profile vehicles use caution. I'm Scott Brady with traffic.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Tim Barbalace.
There are jobs to be won in the Orioles bullpen. Manager Craig Albernaz recently talked about the importance of having a balance of righties and lefties in the pen.
The best day, I mean, I think having multiple lefties is very intriguing. But with everyone in our camp, that's where our pitching coaches are solving, is to make our guys matchup proof. You know, so righties can get out lefties and lefties can get out righties. You know, we preach winning the line of scrimmage. Hopefully we can keep that going all through camp.
NFL teams and draft prospects are arriving in Indianapolis for the scouting combine. GM and head coach availability will take place tomorrow and Wednesday, with the first on-field workouts happening on Thursday. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, temps are in the low 40s with an overnight low of 23. Tomorrow has partly cloudy skies and a high of 38. I'm Tim Barbalace, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles spring training coverage. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Inside Access with Ken Wyman and Tim Barbalace. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Orioles are playing spring training baseball game. The Combine is going on. Our friend Jonas Schaefer told us Eric DaCosta speaking tomorrow. Perfect time to talk to our own Cordell Woodland, who covers the Ravens and Orioles for us here at 105.7 The Fan. And Cordell, thanks as always for your time. We appreciate it. So, selfishly for you, what would you like to hear from Eric DaCosta when he talks?
Man, I mean, you kind of want to get an idea of, you know, how what he feels like this roster needs going into this offseason. I guess, like, how different does it need to look? What does he feel like he needs to add? And, you know, who are guys that he feels like, or positions that he feels like still has developmental value that they already have on their roster right now? Look, I never really expect to get too much from Eric DaCosta this time of year, so I don't know if I'm necessarily sitting, like, waiting for him to talk about one particular thing. Obviously, the Lamar of it all will be heavily mentioned, but I'm just not expecting him to say a whole lot. We know what Steve Bisciotti said, and we know when free agency starts. So I don't know if we're going to learn much, to be honest with you, from what Eric DaCosta says tomorrow. I think he's going to give little nuggets, but ultimately we'll probably just have to see how it unfolds.
Eric DaCosta was on a podcast recently, Cordell, and said that there's work to be done when it comes to a possible Tyler Linderbaum contract. Are you expecting him to re-sign here?
I was at one point. But then, you know, when he says something like that and you start to look around the league and start to kind of map out what some of the possibilities are in terms of how free agency can play out and how that can impact a bunch of different teams around the league, you do wonder if Linderbaum is going to be back. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking with the year that you're coming off of, with how bad this offensive line was, you don't want to have to go into this offseason having to pretty much revamp your almost your entire offensive line, or at least the middle of your offensive line. That's not a great feeling in itself. So, but I think the thing that makes this a possibility that Linderbaum could be gone is the fact that there will be some known veterans to hit the market at the center position. So, again, I still like going with what you have. I think Tyler Linderbaum is one of the good young players in this league, especially at his position. But you got to cut corners somewhere. I'm just not sure if offensive line is where you should be cutting corners right now.
Talking with Cordell Woodland, Inside Access here on The Fan. Let's get to the Orioles. And obviously, we got the news late last week about Jordan Westberg and his situation. What's your reaction to that? When do you think you'll see Jordan Westberg playing baseball?
Well, it sucks. And we heard, you know, Jordan Westberg obviously spoke to the media down in Sarasota. We've seen some of the quotes, and they aren't good. You could tell it's starting to weigh on him a little bit. And I'm sure the organization as well. I mean, nobody wants this to happen, but just how they're probably feeling coming off of it, I'm sure it sucks for them. I mean, Westberg is a guy that they look at as one of the key pieces of this team. And I do think Westberg could be the difference between them winning, you know, what, 84 games and maybe 89 games. I mean, he's that good, especially defensively, where I have the most question marks about this team. I don't feel great about them now having to get into scramble mode at third base. So, look, I don't know exactly when we'll see. They're trying. They're trying to get him out there this year. And I know the PRP injections probably have more of a better impact on positional players than they do pitchers. We saw I went for Bradish and it didn't go great. So I'm kind of in wait and see mode, but it's just unfortunate that right now when we talk about Jordan Westberg, it just seems like you're always waiting for something to happen. And that sucks because I think he can really play baseball.
Cordell, the bullpen, definitely a question mark. And I know Mike Elias was on with you and Ben last week, and it doesn't sound like Mike's in a hurry to add to the bullpen at all.
Like what's out there either.
So you're looking for guys that could step up internally. Yennier Cano was an all-star a couple years ago. Last year was a disaster for him, in which he ended up getting sent down at one point. He still has two options. So kind of a two-parter. Are you expecting him to be on the opening day roster? And do you have any confidence that he can get at least closer to what he was in 2023 this year?
Man, I mean, it's got to be better than what it was last year, because as the year went on last year, it was almost like you can't even put him out there because you knew what was coming, especially on the back end of games. I don't know if we'll get back to 23. Last year didn't give me a whole lot of hope with that because I was hoping that he could not only fight himself out of it, but at least get to the point to where it's, you know, stable. He's giving you some. He may not be at an all-star level the way that he was, but at least he's a guy that you can depend on to get you a couple of outs without getting in trouble. And that's not the case right now. I do think what he has going for him is the fact that they are kind of in a position to where it's kind of an open door for a lot of these guys in the bullpen. Everybody's looking to get an opportunity. So he will get probably a longer look than he should. But I don't feel great about him being on the opening day roster right now, if we're being honest. It's very early in the spring training. We'll see how it goes. But I'd have to see quite a bit from him to feel like you can depend on him in the role that he's been in for Baltimore, and that's also assuming that some of these other guys don't step up and at least show more consistency than he has.
Cordell, before we let you go, did you hear old friend Tony Manzolino saying Walt Weiss rescued him to Atlanta? That was an interesting quote.
Yeah, you know, I saw it last week, and to be fair to Tony, I wanted to actually hear it so I could get the context.
Oh, we heard
and everything.
It.
Yeah, and then I heard it. And it didn't make me feel any better. And it felt so unnecessary.
Yes.
It's not like he really went and started diving into why he felt that way. He kind of said it in passing. I don't know. His whole time here in Baltimore, he felt like he was so appreciative, and I'm sure he still is. I think that's why I'm so surprised that he said that, you know, about saving him. What could that actually mean? I mean, a lot of these players that he had, I get it, they were through the injury bug last year, but that's not something that I would think that he's talking about saving him from. A lot of those guys are healthy now. So I don't exactly know what he meant by that, but I kind of brushed it off. You know, it is what it is. Tony Manzolino, I thought that he was put in an unfair spot, and it actually kind of, especially on the back end, went a little better than what you thought.
Had a winning record.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of closed the chapter on Manzolino before I saw that quote. That quote just kind of was an eyebrow raiser for
yes.
me. But other than that, it's just like, all right, Tony, on back to the regular schedule program.
When are you and Beltway Ben back?
We're back Thursday night. So, yeah, we'll keep everybody up to date with what's going on in spring training. Everybody, I think the workouts in Indianapolis start on Thursday
yeah. yep.
as well. So we'll start looking ahead to some of these guys are looking at the combine, and maybe there'll be some Ravens news by then. We'll see.
Cordell, awesome, buddy. Thanks as always.
Thanks, guys.
We'll come back at the text today, preview tomorrow's show, and get you ready for Hot Stove League with Ryan Ripken coming up at 6 here on The Fan.
Next time on the Big Bad Morning Show.
How great was college basketball Monday night? Also, the O's take the diamond on Monday for exhibition baseball. And reports are that Lamar Jackson has been engaged in off-season activities with the team. But is he ready to sign the extension?
Tomorrow on Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Reports say that a reunion between Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers is inching closer and closer. If this is really going to be Rodgers' final season in the NFL, it would benefit him to take advantage of every offseason program with the Steelers. Even if he has a familiarity with new Steelers coach Mike McCarthy, complete buy-in by Rodgers would go a long way in a wide-open AFC North to making the playoffs. I'm Adam Abdallah.
Traffic sponsored by JATC Local 24.
From the A.J. Michaels Heating and Cooling Traffic Center.
Outer loop of the Beltway before Liberty Road, there's an accident. It's backed up to 795. On U.S. 50, the John Hanson Highway westbound before Rao Boulevard through Annapolis. Accident there's in the right lane. and 95 northbound. No delays to the Fort McHenry Tunnel. Looks good, 895. No delays toward the Harbor Tunnel and 50 at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Still have wind warnings in effect. High-profile vehicles use caution. I'm Scott Brady with traffic. Looking for a great opportunity where you can earn while you learn? Check out the Electrical Apprenticeship Program at JATC Local 24. Go to JATC24.org for more info.
Inside Access with Ken Wyman and Tim Barbalace. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Before we get to text today, a couple things. Number one, Bradley Bozeman announced his retirement after 8 years in the NFL. Former Raven left, went from Carolina to the Chargers. Had himself a nice career.
Yeah, weekly
friend of the show.
Yeah, I was about to say, weekly guest with us. Gosh, what was it, 2022?
Yeah, that was back
at EC Diner where you went.
Yeah, with Margie's right? Birthday. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be heading back there soon because that's some good stuff. Bradley Bozeman, good dude, and enjoy retirement. Also, I wanted to ask him, maybe Ben is better because you are currently single, but Ben has a significant other. So I am curious the difference between men and women. So obviously I'm sick. I'm better today than I was yesterday. But I'm downstairs earlier today and Margie says to me, there's a flu test in the kitchen if you want to take it. And I said to her, why do I need to take a test to know I'm sick? I'm sick. I don't need to take this test. I'm sick. Like, would you take the test, Ben?
I know I'm sick, I'm sorry right now.
Yeah. Like, why?
I would take the COVID test.
But that's exactly what I said to Ken. Yeah. I was like, I think the only test that I've ever taken is for COVID. Now, granted, yeah. I've been very fortunate, knock on wood, even though this isn't wood. Yeah. Like, I really don't get super sick all that often. I legitimately have never had the flu.
Wow. I get the flu shot every year, and then I seemingly get the flu about a month later.
Well, what the heck is the point of the shot?
I know,
then?
But at my age, pre-existing conditions, they tell you sort of have to get the flu shot. Yeah. Alas. By the way, Ben, let's get the text today.
Check 1-2. Check.
Paul in Baltimore, who says, I'm not super concerned with the O's bullpen. Remember when everybody had the same concerns when they traded away Tanner Scott, and that bullpen turned out to be extremely reliable.
That was Tanner Scott and who was it, Cole Sulcer?
Yes.
That was it. I remember people freaking out.
Yes, but that's because Felix Bautista came out of nowhere.
Yes. That was
and Jorge Lopez.
Yeah. That was 2022. Yeah. Jorge Lopez and Cash. Lopez was an all-star.
They traded him,
and then Felix slotted in.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I've been saying that the bullpen's my biggest. I've been steadfast this whole offseason, saying the bullpen is my biggest concern. Even before the Orioles brought in Chris Bassett,
yes.
It was a bigger concern for me than the starting rotation. I'd love to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because if this bullpen turns out to be as good as that, what, 23 was fantastic, this team's going to win a heck of a lot of games, because I feel very good about the lineup. I'm pretty high on this starting rotation. I am. I'm bullish. You could poke holes in these guys, but I love the upside for this starting rotation. If the bullpen is good, this is going to be a damn good team.
What's on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, Ken, we have Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordy.
Oh, Bordy.
We have Jeffrey Chedilla of NFL Network. He's at the Combine, I believe, and waiting to hear back from another person.
Oh, I like him or her, potentially.
Who knows?
Anyway, that is it for us. Thank you so much for listening. We enjoy taking you through this four-hour roller coaster. Appreciate all of your time. But coming up next, don't change that dial. Todd Stovley, Ryan Ripken, talking baseball next here on The Fan. Bouncing off a satellite, crushing the last lone American eyes. This is Radio Nowhere. Is there anybody alive? Game Day Uncensored. Before every Ravens game is powered by Verizon. On demand. Online. On your way to wherever you're going, the free Odyssey app is loaded with opinions, analysis, podcasts, and moments that matter most from the Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney, and Inside Access. Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan.